not their testimony, but it was the testimony of folks that have passed through this church. So in other words, what God used to do, God is still doing. Amen. God's not lost His power, friend. God's not sitting anywhere wondering what He's going to do with anybody else's life. I'm glad God is still in the saving business. And so I want to read just one passage of Scripture, and then we'll bring just a small message there that the Lord's laid on our heart, and just want to just share what God would say. And so the Bible says in the book of Matthew, very familiar passage of Scripture there, the Word of God begins in verse number 18, and we'll read just the first few verses. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight, Lord, for everything that we've already seen. God, I'm thankful. Lord, sometimes maybe, Lord, we read over passages of Scripture, but when we get to see it portrayed in front of us, God, I'm thankful that it stirs down in our heart. Lord, I'm glad that, Father God, that not one of those signs was the sign I got to hold up, but Lord, I've got a testimony that's all my own. Lord, I'm glad tonight to know that whenever I was, Lord, just a small child in need of a Savior, I'm glad the same God that saved the woman at the well, the same God that could touch the blind eyes, Lord, I'm glad that, Lord, that you still saved me that night. I pray for a few moments of time. Lord, would you help us tonight just to bring the message that you've laid on our heart. Lord, might every heart be attentive, and God, might our affections be heavenward. Father, might liberty be in this place, and the Holy Ghost of God do only those things you can do. Father, I'm glad that one more time I get to come to your house. One more time I get to love on you, son. One more time, Lord, I get to lift up the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray, would you help us now as we do our best to do so. In Christ's name and for his sake alone, I pray. Amen and amen. I'd like to preach a message this evening with a few moments of time on the subject from the cradle to the cross. When we come to the house of God, friend, and we see plays being portrayed, and we understand that there are mangers everywhere, and there's little babies, and everybody loves the little baby Jesus, because simply, and there's nothing too intimidating about a little baby in a manger. But might I share with you, friend, he is not coming back as a babe in a manger. And make no mistake about it, there may have been just a few eyes and that got to see him on that day, but the Bible says that every eye shall behold him, and there will not be one person at his second advent and at his second coming that will not see the Lord of glory. He is not, friend, coming back, and dear God, as a humble babe, but he is coming as the ruler and the Lord of lords and the very King of kings. I say amen, thank God. But God began to deal in my heart about some things in this passage. I want you to understand that everything he came as a babe in a manger to do, you also find at the cross of Calvary. And the only difference is, friend, is that God changed what transpired in that place. And so the first thing I thought about is the way that he got to the manger. Now the Bible teaches us in the book of Luke chapter number 2, and that, dear God, that it was the days of taxing, and they had left out of Nazareth coming up to the city of Bethlehem. In other words, they were making a 70 to 80 mile journey to get to where the babe was going to be born. Now, friend, let me share this with you. And that little lady did not walk for 70 70 miles, and the Bible says that she was great with child, and there's no way she could have made that journey. You can find, dear friend, had very few modes of transportation. She probably did not ride on a camel, and because the camel would have been too rough. And dear friend, we know that Mary and Joseph were poor folks, and because they could only afford a poor offering and there of turtle dove. And so probably, Brother Gett, the only thing she had to ride on was a donkey. Might I share this with you? You say, preacher, what difference does that make? Well, let me share. Maybe from a side view, a donkey don't look like too much, friend. Maybe from a front view, a donkey don't look like too much. But if you got up and over top of it, what you would find is that there is a black stripe that runs up donkey's back, and dear God, black stripes that run across his shoulder. And so from the view of heaven above, you could see that there would be a cross and that the Son of God rode into town on. I'm telling you, friend, at his birth, a cross bore him. But dear God, at his death, and the Bible says in St. John chapter number 19, that he, bearing his cross, went forth unto the place of the skull, and the place that is called Golgotha. And now the first time he came, and dear friend, dear God, as a little baby, riding on top of a cross. In other words, and dear friend, it was in the mind and the plan of God from his birth. He came to do one thing. He did not come, dear friend, and just to heal the blinded eyes. He did not come just to raise the dead, but he came for one purpose, and that he might give his life a ransom for many. In other words, as we read in Matthew chapter 2, he came to do one thing, and to save men from their sin. If all the Lord Jesus Christ done was raised up a few dead or touched a few blinded eyes, and we'd say that was a good man, but me and you would not benefit from it for one moment. But thank God, amen, friend, I'm glad that because he came to save men from their sins, and that I am benefiting from that right this very moment. I don't have to die and go to hell, and because he bore the cross, friend, at his birth it bore him, at his death he bore it. And thank God for the cross. The Bible said, and that it's at that place that he blotted out and the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, amen, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way and nailing it to his cross. And now, friend, there's some folks that would have you believe and that he could not bear his cross on his own, and that when he compelled Simon and the Cyrenian to come, it was because he did not have enough strength. But let me assure you of one thing. He loved you so much and he loved me so much, and that there was not enough beatings, there was not enough blood loss, and thank God, that would prevent and the Son of God from carrying the cross all the way up Golgotha's hill, laying out his hands willingly and suffering, bleeding, and dying for my sins and for yours. I say thank God. Amen. And then I thought, bless God, and not only about the way that he went, but then I thought about the wrapping. We all know the story. They took the baby I was going to use, but we all know the story, and that whenever the baby was come forth in Luke chapter 2, it said that it was wrapped up in swaddling clothes. In other words, there were strips of clothing, and that was taken. They would cut these rags, and when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, he was wrapped up in the rags, and dear God, of whatever they could find to try to keep him company. But I want you to know that at his death it was not so. Friend, at his birth he was wrapped up. But according to St. John chapter 19, when he was on the cross of Calvary, and they took his raiment off of him. I know there are folks that have, and dear God, tried to display what the Lord Jesus Christ looked like on the cross. But I'm telling you, friend, he hung there in absolute shame. A man who the Bible said did no sin. He knew no sin. He had never been touched with sin. He had never had a bad thought, never had a misstep, never spoke, and dear God, a wrong word. But on that day, he hung in utter shame and naked in the sight of God and naked before men. And you say, brother, why would he do such a thing? And thank God that he might, and dear friend, take all of our sins upon him and pay for them that day. When he first came, he was wrapped up in filthy garments, and that they had found wherever. But on the cross of Calvary. He was wrapped up in our filthy sin, and that he might pay for it and that I might be clean. I say, thank God. Amen, friend. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ loved me enough. I mean, the Bible teaches us, let this mind of God be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the Bible teaches us wherefore, and because that's not the end, friend, and the cross is not the end of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. It said, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess, and that Jesus Christ is Lord unto the glory of the Father. Amen. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus and the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Hey, listen, you say, brother, that was God that came. I want you to know, friend, and the Bible said he endured that. He despised the shame. And this man that had never knew sin became sin, and that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, when he hung that day, he took all the filth of all of us collectively, he put it on his shoulder. Hey, I don't know, you might be a pretty good person, but when I think about some of the things that I've done that made me a sinner in the sight of God, and to know that the Lord Jesus Christ had to go to the cross and to pay for every one of those sins, I'm telling you, friend, he hung in shame that day. He paid for the child molester, he paid for the murderer, the adulterer, the fornicator, the liar, he paid for the thief. He paid for the good little Susies and Johnnies that had told a lie. And he paid for those that's on death row. I'm thankful there's no place and that the hand of God and the payment of God and cannot reach down to. And the Bible teaches us that, and dear God, he can save to the uttermost and them that come unto God by him. In other words, he can reach in the farthest direction and that you could ever go. And it's the sins have already been paid for. He was already wrapped up in them, and they stripped him of his raiment, but then they re-gifted him, friend, and the best re-gift that's ever been given, and they took him off the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus wrapped him up one more time and put him down in a tomb, friend, but I'm telling you, bless God, and 3 days later they looked in there and all they found was wrapping paper, and the greatest gift that's ever been given had already checked out, friend, and went back to the very throne of God and presented payment for my sin and your sin, and that we might be able to be born again. I say amen, amen, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And so I thought about here, friend, and the Bible says in chapter number 2, and that there came wise men. We know there's probably 2 years different and between when the shepherds were there and the wise men, but God wraps the whole story together. He is trying to tell a story, friend, and I thought about this passion, and these wise men were Gentiles and folks like me and you, and Gentiles are those that do not belong to Israel, and there ain't no Israelites in this room tonight, and so therefore we'd all be Gentile. But I want you to notice, not every Gentile knew where he was. It took a wise Gentile. I mean, the only people that found Jesus at his birth were folks that were real intelligent, and they had understanding of the stars, understanding of the scripture, and they had understanding of the land. I mean, these were intelligent men and that found it. It took somebody smarts, what I'm trying to tell you, to find Jesus at his birth. But thank God at his death, it's a little different, friend. Amen. It's not just for those that are smart. If that's the case, I'd have never got in. Thank God the Bible says it like this. Over in the book, I'll just read it in the book of Isaiah chapter 35 in verse number 8. It records these words. He says, a highway shall be there, O way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, and the wayfaring men, though fools, and shall not err therein. And now you might miss the birth, friend, and you say, preacher, I was never there. I don't understand about the virgin birth. I don't understand how he was virgin born. I know there was only a few smart men that found it, but thank God, I don't know about you, but I'm glad whenever somebody preaches about the cross of Calvary and how the Lord Jesus cried and suffered and bled and died for my sin. Amen. I didn't have to be very smart to understand it. I still don't have to be very smart to understand it. I just believe what God said. I'm glad whether you're 70 years old or whether you're 7 years old and you understand the Lord Jesus Christ and bled and died on the cross for your sin. Amen. Not just believing about Him, but believing in Him. Amen. And there is a vast difference, friend, between believing about Him and believing in Him or believing on Him. But I want you to know at the manger scene, it's just smart people. But bless God, when you come to the cross, there's smart folks, there's dumb folks, there's every kind of folk. Bible said that this message, the message of the cross, we might complicate it, but the Bible says the message of the cross is so simple that a child can understand it. Hey, listen, we ain't talking about rocket science, and God didn't put it way up high on the shelf where only the elite can find it, but I'm glad it was a low-hanging fruit, and that if we'll just believe what God says, friend, we can be born again. And the Bible teaches us, not only were there wise men, but in verse number 2 it says, saying, where is he that was born and king of the Jews? For we have seen his star. I thought at the birth of Jesus, we've got a star up there, and there was a witness in heaven, and that let them know that that was the Son of God. And now I don't understand how all of it works, but what I do know is this. One day the light has shined down on the light. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And Jesus said, I am and the light of the world. In Genesis, the Bible teaches us, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. His Son shone forth, and thank God he still is today. But at his birth, there was a sign in the heaven. But at his death, there was a sign on earth. And the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 27, and that when the Lord Jesus Christ and cried and yielded up the ghost, and the Bible teaches us, behold, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent, and the graves were open, and many of the saints which slept arose. Amen. And so what are you saying? I'm saying he gave you a sign and to see where the manger was at, but then he gave us a sign on earth and to know that when he died, and things would never be the same again, friend. All of creation, and the sun was blackened out, and darkness was over the whole land, and to demonstrate to mankind and that that was the very Son of God that died that day. Bible says this in verse number 8. It says he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him. I thought, boy, at his birth there were men and women that were searching to try to find him. I mean, that's the way it worked. And some of them saw a star, and some of them had seen angels, but they all wanted to be right there where the birth of the Son of God was. Can you imagine? I don't know about you, but boy, whenever I had my baby boy and my first son, I remember just sitting in the room that day, amen, seeing some awful things transpire, but out came this little baby boy, and when I put him up in my arms, and dear God, I thought, that one's mine. Amen, I'm telling you, the love of God just consumed my heart. I thought, oh Lord, how much do you love us? And because I want you to know, at that instant, two things happened. In my heart, I loved him more than I'd ever loved anything before. And at that instant, I would defend him with my absolute life. But you understand, when God sent forth his darling, perfect son and put him in that manger,
He knew right then that there was going to be men from the very outset going to try to kill him. And for that reason, he sent him into this world to suffer at the hands of cruel men and to bleed and to die. And dear God, men were searching, trying to find him to kill him. But on the cross of Calvary that day, things changed. Men were no longer searching after them. But on that day, he began to search after men. And the Bible says God so loved the world and that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in him and should not perish but have everlasting life. And the word of God teaches us, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. If you're here and you're saved, amen, you're saved not because you came looking for God, but because the Lord Jesus Christ came searching for you, amen. I didn't even know how to search. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. And last time I checked, dead men don't move, and dead men don't think, and dead men can't reach out. But I'm glad the God of all glory found me where I was at, quickened my heart, brought me to life, friend. I say praise his holy name. I want you to notice this. The Bible says, you bear with us for just a moment. The word of God teaches us in verse number 11. It says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We find at the birth of Christ, men were not ashamed to bow down their knees and to worship him. Bible says in Luke chapter 2, as the King of the Jews. Now, as a baby in a manger, they understood that that was the King of all glory. Hey, listen, we ain't talking about, you got to make a decision about what you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. One of a few things has happened. Either he is not who he said he was and is the greatest con artist of all time, did not heal anybody, did not touch anybody, did not die on the cross, or he is who he said he was. And now, my friend, if he did what he said he did and he was who he said he was, hey, man, I'll tell you, say, why would you believe that he is? Well, men might live for a lie, but they'll sure not die for one, amen. I mean, every disciple he had but one and died a gruesome death because they believed Jesus was who he said he was. Now, if he is who he said he is and he did what he said he did, then you have a decision to make, friend. You'll either bow down a knee and worship him, or you'll be as the Jews at his death. And the Bible says when they put a sign above his head and said, this is the King of the Jews, and they came and said, don't say that he's the King of the Jews, say that he said he was the King of the Jews. Hey, listen, he's the King of the Jews. He's the King of the Gentiles. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of earth. And dear friend, the best thing we could do is bow our knee and acknowledge that he's the King. He is the King. I'm glad he's the King. I'm thankful for a virgin birth. And I'm thankful for his death. But I am serving a resurrected, glorified, sitting at the right hand of the Father, coming again to get his church, coming again after that to set foot on the earth. I'm telling you, I am serving the King of all glory. Friend, I'll tell you this, I'll die with what I've got. I hope you're willing to die with what you've got. Lord Jesus Christ came not so that you could just look at the star and say, boy, that's a beautiful star, and look at the manger and say, boy, that's a beautiful manger, or sing Joy to the World and say, I like that. He didn't come just to have gifts. He came for it, and that you might be born again. Let me read one passage and I'm done. Word of God says in verse 12, we find at his birth there was a warning. It says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. There was a warning. If you ever come and see God who he is, you'll leave a different way than the way that you came in. You can come to church your whole life. You can be around people your whole life that love the Lord, and it'll never change you. But I'll tell you, whenever you realize that he came and did that for you, and he came and died on this, and he done it for you. I'll guarantee you one thing. And boy, if we had time to let every born again child of God stand up, and the one thing they would say in their life is that meeting the Lord Jesus Christ forever changed him. It changed my path. It changed my mind. It changed my thoughts. It changed my words. It changed my want to's. It changed my desire. I'm glad as they read those signs, it was some of them that held up a sign, and dear God, that said they was a drunk and they was drug addicts. Amen. But they ain't worried about that no more. Lord Jesus Christ can change whatever. He ain't waiting for you to change on the outside. Amen. He'll change you on the inside and work himself out. I'm telling you, thank God for Christmas time. I thank God for crucifixion time. I thank God for resurrection time. But where we're at right now, I'm thankful that the Lord is soon coming again, and for those that are his. And the question is, simply, do you believe this story? Bible says in Isaiah, who hath believed our report? Who? Who? And you might leave here and you say, preacher, you're crazy. And that's fine. The Bible says that the preaching of Christ is to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks it's foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it's the power of God.